Well, hey, it's good to have you all here today, and I try to get different people to speak every once in a while, and so it's been great to see just how Andy has matured. You're coming up, it's 2 years right now, isn't it? But you've been here 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now it's about, you came the end of October, 2 years ago, so, wow, time flies, doesn't it? So, man. So we're going to turn it over to him. He's going to be picking up just in our series. We've been going through the book of Matthew. And so you're going to get the Andy version of chapter 17, verse 1. So, all right, here we go.
Thanks, the Andy version. Just to let you know, Chris thanked me yesterday, too, because I printed out the copy of my notes before Pastor Brent did. So I was ahead of the game. Oh, I need to get my water. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. I am privileged and glad to be able to share the message with you. And before I get started here, Chris also said something funny. I just like to joke with people. I don't mean it in any harsh way. So if I joke with you, I don't mean it literally. I just am, that's the way God created me, just to be kind of a person that jokes with you, just to get you up, break the ice a little bit, you know? So it's okay to laugh sometimes. And you don't have to laugh. You can just laugh at me if you want, if that makes you feel better. So. That's good. Okay, no, but Chris said last night he was here getting the slides ready. Chris Boyer, he's in the back with the beard. He's the Santa guy. He said that he wasn't going to listen yesterday, and I was like, okay, well, I mean, as long as you allow listen to the Holy Spirit, and I was joking because but I was being serious at the same time because it's not about me speaking. It's not about Pastor Brent speaking. Yes, God has given us those callings to preach the word, to teach the word, but it's about what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you specifically. And I believe that God, there's a compass in you that led you to this place, to this moment, and you were purposed to be here to listen to what God has for you. He has a special package delivered for you, and you get to choose if you want to receive that or deny it. And I pray that you receive it today. Amen? All right, before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. So God, we just thank you right now. We thank you that we have the privilege to be able to know more about you, hear your voice, and know your character. And I just pray, God, that you would speak to every single person in this place. God, I pray that you would teach us what it means to go be led up to a mountain to see you, but to carry that and walk down in the valley. Lord, I pray that you would speak to every single person in this place. And I pray that we would not leave this place without being changed. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Amen. All right, here we go. The title of my message is From the Mountain to the Valley. And that'll make sense as I go into it. But if you want to turn your Bibles to, as you can see in the screen here, Matthew chapter, oh, it doesn't have that. It's not Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and it's called The Transfiguration. We'll go 1 through 13. So if you have your Bibles, throw your Bible up in the sky. Does anybody have their Bibles? If you have your phone, that's cool too. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. We're going to go ahead and pick up in 1-3. We're going to start there. We're going to dive in. All right. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain. Okay. I'm going to pause, and that's where you have to say the next word. Okay. It's just so I know that you're following along. It's something I sometimes do with the kids too, or I have them repeat. So that way I know you're picking up and you're tracking. You're not like talking to your neighbor or distracting, you know, I kind of work with kids. So I kind of just want to make sure. And Pastor Brent, let me have the privilege to speak with the big kids today. So now I'm part of the cool group now. Now I feel apart. I'm just kidding. All right, so he led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. All right, let's break this down so we can understand what's going on, okay? The transfiguration. Okay, so in the first part here, we have 6 days later after Jesus had his sayings in the previous message that Pastor Brent will talk about, and we'll hit on that, but he took with him just 3 disciples. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus had many disciples. In the previous message that I spoke, he sent out 72, and there was probably more disciples along the way that followed him after they saw the healing, the miracles. There were probably disciples that followed him alongside. But there were 12 disciples that followed him specifically for 3 years. And then there were 3 disciples in his inner circle. And just a side tangent, John is probably the one that understood him the most or understood his love the most. All right, here we go. So we got the three disciples. The other nine are not with them, okay? And the other disciples are not with them either. It's just the three. Peter, James, and John. Okay, we're there. Man, we're getting it. You guys got it already. Wow. All right, here we go. It was a journey, though, to experience God's glory. It says he led them up a high mountain. Before the disciples could know God further and see him for who he is, there was a mountain not in the way, but on the way. Sometimes we think the mountains in our life that God allows to be there, oh, that's in the way, God. I can just experience your love and spirits, your peace and your comfort. But this mountain's in my way. Can you just move this obstacle out of my way? Maybe God's trying to speak to you. I'm not saying for every season, but I'm just saying for some seasons, there's a mountain not in the way, but it's on the way. It's on the way. That's a good place to say amen. Yeah, thanks, Jill. And this mountain was a mountain where something needed to be transformed. And not only that, but was going to be transformed. Something was going to be changed, and the disciples were going to witness it. All right, let's go continue on. In verse 2, it says, has this word transfiguration. Everybody say transfiguration. Or transfigured. The Greek meaning, it's translated, I'm probably going to biff this because I'm not a Greek scholar, okay? If you're a Greek scholar, like I said, you can teach me that after this. But it's metamorphothy, and it's a combination of meta and morphu, meaning to change into another form. Some of you are like, you totally lost me, Andy. I don't speak Greek. Stop speaking that because it's really annoying me. No, I'm just kidding. That's not it at all. Pastor Brent hit on a word that actually had a similar meaning to this, and I'll put it in words for us to understand, and he kind of stole what I was going to say. He took it from the same book that I was studying out of just to make him sound cool, but I'm just kidding. No, in terms for us to understand, it is similar to the process of a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. How many are caterpillar people? I don't like caterpillars. We'll pray for you after this. I'm just kidding. I like the beautiful butterfly flying around, the pretty butterfly. I don't like the little fat stubby caterpillar. It's kind of gross. Back to the point here. Something was being transformed. And Jesus, he wasn't literally, okay, there didn't sprout like legs out of him, and he wasn't like a little caterpillar walking around, and then the disciples were like, what's going on? Jesus is a caterpillar, now he's turning into a butterfly? That's not what I mean by this. No, no. What was inside of him was coming out of him. What was in him from the beginning was shining out. Like John says, John, one of the disciples, he's saying, we are seeing John 1:14, the word become flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, and glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're seeing his glory. We're experiencing. Disciples are like, whoa, they're seeing his face shine like the sun. Has anybody looked at the sun for a long time? Okay, I'm glad you didn't because you'll probably get blind. Don't do that. So it's okay to laugh sometimes too, but if you don't want to, it's okay. My jokes aren't necessarily the funnest. But his face shone light and his clothes became white as light, okay? And I'm sure the disciples were in awe of this and they were moved by this. And like I said, they were seeing what was reflected inside of him, come out of him. Okay, well, let's pick up in verse 3 to figure out what's going on further, because he meets with people. And these two people, what's the first person that he addresses that he's meeting with? Moses. Thank you. Okay, we're following along in the scripture. Good. Man, we're doing this. All right. Moses is a good representation of the first lawgiver, and he represented the law. Okay? He didn't come on the same pedestal of Jesus. He didn't come in the same majesty and glory as Jesus. No, he represented the law. He said, oh, you're the successor. He came under him in a sense of like saluting, oh, you're the glory. You're the one that was preached about that's going to fulfill this law. Because in the beginning, man messed up and our relationship was destroyed. So we had requirements by God's law to be made right and restored and be made righteous. Moses saying, you're him, Jesus. And the disciples are witnessing this, and they're like, whoa. They're seeing Moses right there with him, talking with him. And then they're not only that, he's not only the fulfillment of the law, but he's this too. Who is the second person he meets with? Elijah. Yep, he was the first prophet and represented the prophets, okay? And if you know what prophets are, Elijah spoke of the coming of the Messiah, okay? And what he was there, like I said, he didn't come on the same pedestal as Jesus. He didn't come to take his glory. No, he came to... Okay, he came in spirit. This is a vision that they're witnessing, the disciples are witnessing. You're the glory. You're the successor that's going to fulfill, what Moses is bringing, the law, but also the prophets. The Pharisees were like, oh, Jesus, you came to take away the law. No, I came to fulfill the law, Jesus saying. And they're witnessing the glory that Jesus is the one. He's the perfect man and perfect Son of God that is going to fulfill both the law and the prophets. Amen? It's a good place to say amen. Pastor Brent said that last service, and I was like, man, I'm going to start doing that too because it's kind of funny. It's a good place to say amen. I'm saying amen, but he doesn't hear me on the other side because I'm usually listening to it on the podcast. all right, so both of the Moses and Elijah were meeting with him, and they were discussing Jesus' departure. They were discussing his exodus. They were discussing, oh, you're going to fulfill the law and the prophets. You have to give your life. This is the only way that you have to suffer for a moment, and then you will experience glory. Suffering is just for a moment, and it probably worried Jesus a little bit, but he was trying to also confirm all the way back what Peter's confession was, oh, you're the Christ. Peter's seeing Jesus as the Christ, and it's being confirmed. It's his revelation's being deepened. His understanding of God's being deepened. That's what God wants to do. He wants to reveal his glory and deeper understanding of him. And that's what he's doing with Peter. But he's also where he corrected him, and Peter tried to impose his will. Peter's like, oh, you're not going to suffer in the hands of sinners. No, God, we have your disciples. You have all these other disciples. We're going to stand up, and we're going to fight for you. Nope, that ain't going to happen. You don't deserve that. And what does he say? Get behind me, Satan. He's trying to teach him that his will should not go before God's will. That's a safe place to be. Amen? So God desires to confirm who he really is. But sometimes it takes climbing a mountain to experience his glory. And my point my first point is that the mountaintop is where God's glory is revealed to us. That's where we get to see who he really is. And that's where I believe he is going to show you who he is. And you're going to see him. And your life's going to be changed and transformed. Amen? My question to you today is, have you ever experienced God's glory, majesty, and character? Have you seen who God really is? Or really who he says he is? Or is it just mere words? Or is God trying to confirm to you who he says he is, just like he was to Peter? Hey, I'm the Christ. I'm the Savior. I'm going to be the one that's going to help you through this. I'm going to be the one that's going to fulfill the law and the prophets. You don't have to do that. I'll take the suffering. I'll bear it on my back. Maybe the mountain that you thought was in the way is actually on the way to experiencing God's glory. What is that for you? All right, let's pick up here in Matthew 17, and let's continue verse 4 to 8. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. God has a manly voice like that, just in case you didn't know. I'm just kidding. That's what I imagine. That's the Andy interpretation. That's not literally what the Bible says, so don't be freaked out by that, okay? Peter starts off, and he starts off his approach to God in an honorable approach. He said, Lord, it's good that we're experiencing your glory here. But then he takes the wrong turn and after that, and he takes it a step further. And this isn't the brightest moment for Peter. And if you know Peter, he has a good track record for not saying the brightest things. But it makes all of us feel a little bit better because, oh man, Peter, he messed up. Okay, then that gives me a little bit of leeway to mess up too. So thank God we can talk about somebody else and not ourselves first. It's easier to do. all right, but Luke actually says too that Peter responds based off of his feeling of excitement. He's like, whoa, man, I've seen God's glory. And Luke says he doesn't even know what he's saying. And he's like, I will make three tents here for one you. He's probably shaking a little bit. He's like, whoa, I've just seen God's glory and I can't even keep still. I got to move. And I'll make one for Moses and one for Elijah. Again, the Bible doesn't say that, but that's just my interpretation, okay? It's kind of funnier. All right. So Peter sees God's glory, and what does he want to make? Tents. Okay. Has anybody been camping? How many love camping? Okay. Okay, hold on. I'm saying not in hills, Nebraskans. I'm saying in mountains. Because this is a mountain. No, I'm just teasing you. I love Nebraska. Don't get it twisted. I love Nebraska. I love Arizona. I love both. They both have different beauties about them. But and specifically in this, how many have ever camped in a mountain before or on the side of a mountain? Me too. It's so fun. It's so beautiful. All right. If you haven't done that, please try it out. All right. So what do you do with tents? You set them up. Okay. You pitch them. Okay. You stay in them. You sleep in them. Okay. When you go camping, you get away from the reality that you're going through, the life that you're going through, and you set that aside to go enjoy life, okay? You set aside your current reality to go and sleep in a place that's not really the most comfortable on the ground, unless you have an RV, then you're fancy. But then they get around this fire, and they have that comfort food around the fire. What's the fire? What's that called? S'mores. Yeah, s'mores. Those are good. Those are good comfort food, though. This is kind of like what God is trying to address in Peter, okay? And Jesus tried to address him before. Get behind me, Satan, stop opposing your will over my will, Peter. And now, since he didn't get it yet completely, thank God, now we can have some leeway to mess up too. But now, somebody else addresses him. And the Father actually addresses him. The Master corrects Peter. And it's a good place how Peter responds. Peter, not only Peter, but James and John, how they respond. And this is what's going to happen, too, when Jesus comes back, too. Every knee will bow when they experience Jesus. And this is exactly what they have. They didn't run away from him. They bowed down in reverence because they recognized the Father's authority, his majesty, his glory, by how they responded to that moment. It says they were terrified, they were afraid, but they weren't afraid and ran away. Okay, they bowed down and worshiped him like, well, I don't deserve anything that you have for me. God, don't take me out. I'm just trying to learn. I'm trying to understand you. And so they bowed down in reverence. That's a safe place thing to do when God corrects you. I wouldn't want to do the other thing and disobey him. Amen? So God the Father addresses Peter getting too comfortable in the glory. But Peter responds in reverence. And this is my point here. As good as the mountaintop is, God doesn't intend for us to stay there. As good where you experience God's glory and you get comfortable, you come to church and you hear a wonderful message by Pastor Brent or one of the speakers that speak or myself or Chrissy that's going to speak next week, God doesn't intend for you just to stay here and do nothing with it. Okay, we got to go back down to the valley. We got to go back down to the reality. We got to go back down and experience suffering and pain, but that's not forever. I want to address that in my next point here. That's not forever, okay? That's just for a moment. Even Jesus was talking about, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to bear it on me, but that's okay. I'm going to experience a lot more glory too, even more than the suffering. It'll be worth it. All right. So God desires each of us not to get comfortable and stay in the glory and do nothing with us. He desires him to revere, yes, to fear him, but not fear him in a sense that you can't approach him. Fear him and respect him and honor him and stay in awe of him and be obedient to him as Lord and Savior, but also to yield to his will and not ours. Our will is like, I want the comfort food. For those of you that don't know, I fasted this week and God challenged me to do that, and I don't know if some of you know, but I love food, and it's really hard for me to do that because food, it makes you comfortable. It makes you feel good, and then you're like, oh, I want to take a nap now. Oh, this feels so good. And it was really challenging. It was really challenging, but God challenges sometimes because he doesn't want us to stay comfortable. He wants us to grow in his glory and understand him, and it was hard. For the week that I did, it was hard, but God's glory was revealed to me. Amen? And he will reveal it to you, too. Okay, so let's pick up further in that verse after the Father corrects him. Then they were bowed down, terrified, and it says, but Jesus came to him and touched him, saying, rise and have no fear. Okay, God the Father corrects them, but then Jesus comes and meets Peter and James and John, and the uncomfortable thing that they have to do in trying to follow Jesus, trying to be obedient to him, it's hard, it's almost seemingly impossible. And what makes it possible is this. Jesus says, he comes and meets him as a friend, and he gives them their hand. He says, rise. And I can imagine him like just touching their shoulder, like, hey, you don't have to be afraid. Like, I'm glad that you responded the way that you did to my Father, but I'm going to walk this out with you. Jesus walked it out with the three disciples, and he's here to walk it out with us too, but by his Spirit, by his Holy Spirit. Amen? So realize this, that Jesus is going to help you walk out what is uncomfortable in your life. He's going to show you his glory, but he wants you to do something with it. As good as the mountaintop is, God doesn't intend for you to stay there. You got to go back to the real life. Disciples understood they had to go back to the valley. They had to go back to the pain, to the suffering, to testing, temptations. Jesus, he eventually had to go to the cross like Moses and Elijah. You're going to take the cross, Jesus. You're the only way that we can be saved. Well, if Jesus got to, then he led by example to show that we got to. And I don't understand. I'm not minimizing your suffering or your pain. And I don't understand it necessarily either because I'm not in where your season of life is. But I know one person who does. I know one name who understands you. And that's why it's not about me speaking, it's about him speaking to you. So my question to you is, now that God has revealed to you who he is, he may be even speaking to you right now, have you been obedient with following him back down into the valley, back to the real life, to the workplace, to your marriage, to your families, to the things that are uncomfortable that God wants to address? Or are you just going through the motions, trying to act like God is together? Oh, man, if I just go to church, I'll be good. I'll be good. We'll be good. No, God wants to take you deeper. He wants to grow you. Know this. God is addressing the uncomfortable thing in your life as your Lord. And he's bringing some correction. And it's uncomfortable. I know when Pastor Brent corrects me or Amy corrects me, I don't really like it. But I don't think anybody likes correction. It's kind of uncomfortable. It's like, oh, I don't really like that you're telling me this right now. But I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to try to be obedient. Okay. And that's kind of probably how Peter's feeling a little bit. He probably doesn't want to be corrected by in front of the rest of the disciples. He's probably feeling that. But it's for our good. The Father knows what's best. I'm glad for all the fathers that are out there. We need fathers who are going to address the things that are uncomfortable to the kids. Because if we don't, then the kids are going to go walk off into what they're walk down a road that they don't know what it leads to, and it may lead to destruction. So it's important for the fathers to lead the way by example. Amen. I don't know if that was for somebody, but I just felt like sharing that. All right, let's pick up with Matthew 9. Matthew 9 through 13. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" He answered, "Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. The three disciples had to come down from the mountain from experiencing his glory. But that was changing them. That was transforming them. Okay, they witnessed it. They witnessed his glory. And that was going to move them. But Jesus' first commandment is, God has a specific time for you to reveal his glory to the people that he leads you to. It's important that you're sensitive to that, okay? But after the disciples experienced God's glory, it moved them to a place. But the experts of the law, the Pharisees, the teachers of law, the ones that are supposed to be teaching us in the church about Jesus, they're saying that Elijah is supposed to come. I'm a little bit confused here, okay? My leaders who I was entrusted to taught me this, and I'm not understanding it, God. I'm having a misrepresentation of your will, a misrepresentation of who you are and what you want me to do. I'm trying to understand your glory. You revealed it to me, but I'm just trying to understand. And that was the purpose of the mountain. It was to experience God's glory, but to be transformed. And it made them question their beliefs. If our beliefs aren't in alignment with God's will, he wants us to question those and make sure. That's why he allows the uncomfortable thing to come up in your life, because he's like, I'm going to show you what you believe through this uncomfortable thing. What's inside is going to come out of you. And he's wanting to address that as your father, but as your friend too. But when we see God's glory, I love this verse, Romans 2:4, that when we see God's glory, his love, his mercy, we're meant to be moved to a place of repentance, a change in mind, heart, and direction. We're supposed to be transformed. We can't not do nothing with it, okay? So coming down from the mountain, this is my third point. Coming down from the mountain, it should move us to a place of transformation. When you see God's glory, when he sees it, when you see it, he wants you to be faithful with that glory. Because he's trying to take you from glory to glory. But he can't take you from glory to glory when you haven't been faithful with the glory that he's trying to reveal to you personally. You're wondering, like, why does God keep showing me the same thing and bringing me the same thing and bringing the same thing? It's probably because we haven't been obedient to what God's speaking to us. We're getting comfortable and we're not allowing him to transform us. Amen. I heard the crickets say it with me. I'm just kidding. All right. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples. The things they've been taught, like I said, they heard from the experts of the law who were supposed to lead God's people. And they heard that Elijah was supposed to come. But the only problem was Elijah's dead. Okay, this is Jesus. This is 100 years before. And Elijah spoke of a prophecy, though, of one coming, a voice crying out and preparing a way in the wilderness for the coming Messiah. So they thought, oh, Elijah's going to be raised back to life. Okay, he's going to be raised back to life, and he's going to come and prepare a way for Jesus. And that wasn't actually, Jesus brought clarity on that, okay? He brings clarity through the questioning. When you allow God to question what you believe and you begin to question it, then he'll bring clarity in your attempt to align your will with his. Coming down from the mountain should lead us to a place of transformation. Okay? And so he says Elijah does come and he will restore all things. He has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. God desires our mindsets to be transformed. Pastor Brent hit on it last week. The same thing of transfiguration is actually the same thing that he hit on in Romans 12, 1 to 2. It's the same similar meaning. Different words, but similar meaning. In Romans 12, 1 to 2, it says, do not be conformed to the worldly mindsets, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that way you may know God's will, which is acceptable, good, and perfect. That's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want, Peter, I don't want you to follow your will, because that'll lead to destruction. I want you to submit to mine. It's going to be suffering. There's going to be uncomfortability. But you're going to experience glory. The present suffering isn't going to compare to the glory you're going to experience. Amen? So he brought clarity, and then the disciples understood, oh, you're speaking about John the Baptist. Okay, John the Baptist came and prepared a way in the wilderness. And if you know the scripture, John the Baptist, he did. He said, repent and turn, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so they got some clarity, but they didn't have it all together. Okay, they didn't understand everything. Before this, too, Jesus was also talking about his death, that he was going to die at sinners' hands. But he also says here in verse 9, Jesus commanded them, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. He said, don't share this glory yet, okay? I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer, but I'm going to be raised by the Father from the dead. I'm going to defeat death. Amen? And so Jesus experiences God's glory and was the glory of God the Father, but also told the three disciples that even they had to suffer at the hands of sinners, or even he had to suffer at the hands of sinners. But like I said, the suffering wasn't forever, and it wasn't going to compare to the glory that God had in store for Jesus. And same for us. You may be going back to that valley, and God's showing you his glory right now. He's showing you his glory, but he doesn't want you to stay where you are, and he wants to lead you back down to that valley, because he'll move, and he can do everything on himself, but he's entrusted us to lead, love, and connect people to Jesus. He's entrusted us to be ambassadors of the mysteries of Christ and make him known to our workplace, to our families. He's entrusted us. He can do it all by himself, but he doesn't want to. He wants to partner with us. Amen? If I can have the musicians come. Sometimes we experience God's glory on a mountain. Sometimes it takes climbing a mountain. But we can't stay on that mountain. God desires for us to come down from the mountain and to bring his glory and his timing to our workplace, to our families, to our friendships, in our relationships, in every part of our life, if we allow him to. He wants to show his glory everywhere. If we submit to that, he will. Yes, it's going to be hard. I'm not minimizing that. But God, Jesus is here. His spirit is here. And he's going to be the one that helps you through it. It's not going to be Andy. I can pray with you. We can pray with you and believe with you. And I believe God puts relationship groups and small groups. He puts people in our lives and a church in our life because he wants us to do it together. But it's going to be him and his strength that helps you through it. And so in conclusion, how did that encounter alter the rest of the disciples' lives? All right, we've been talking a lot about Peter, but I want to take away, this is probably the, if you don't get anything, this is probably something good that you can take away with. This is James' takeaway, and I like James' takeaway. He's a really practical man, and he's a real respectable guy, too, it seems like. His takeaway was, he writes the book of James, in case you didn't know, okay? He was one of the disciples that saw him. He said faith alone wasn't enough. Faith without works is dead. In other words, we need to do something with God, what God's revealed us. He had this moment where he saw Jesus was being transformed, but he understood I'm a son of God too. I believe in Jesus, Lord my Christ and Savior. So I'm going to, what's inside of me is going to come out of me. And you see what's coming out of James. What James allowed to come in his life, in his heart, what he submitted to was God's will. And you see that shining out of him because we have his scripture that's impacting us today. And James says, and I love this, do not merely listen to the word and trick yourselves and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Do what it says. And yes, they went through sufferings. Each of them did. Each of them suffered hard persecutions. John, probably the worst out of all of them. But they didn't allow that to get in the way because they had in mind that he's going to raise us from the dead too. He's going to take care of his kids. The glory the suffering is not going to compare to the glory that we're going to experience. So my question to you today is, how will your mountaintop experience alter your life? Is it hard for you to experience God's glory because there's a mountain in the way? Change your perspective a little bit. It's on the way. Have you got too comfortable and stayed in that glory and did nothing with it? The Father's correcting you. Not in a condemning way. Because he gave you his son to help you through it. And he gave you his Holy Spirit to help you through it and to serve you and to remind you of everything that Jesus taught you. How will your mountaintop experience alter your life? Will you allow it to transform you? To question every part of your life and make sure it's in alignment with God's will? Like Pastor Brent said here, the King is glory is here. Will you open your hearts to experience his glory and be transformed by it? Father God, we just thank you right now. And if there's anybody in this room that's never accepted Jesus or maybe even needs to recommit their life to Jesus and has heard of the story of Jesus being their Lord and Savior and him doing what he did on that cross, but didn't really believe it. They just thought it was mere words, and they want to submit and surrender their life to God today and believe him as their Lord and Savior. If that's you, if I could just have every head bowed, no looking around right now. If that's you, I just want you to so boldly just put your hand up. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to believe in Jesus Christ. I want to recommit my heart to him. I want to have that fire for him. That's awesome. That's awesome. I see the hands. So if everybody can pray this prayer with me and believe it in your heart if you mean it. Dear God, please forgive us for our sins, for our shortcomings, and help us to trust you and believe in you as our Lord and Savior. God, we thank you that as we believe in you, as we commit our lives, it says that the angels are celebrating because our names are being written in the book of life. And we ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. It says the angels are celebrating because your name is being written in the book of life. And nobody can snatch you out of that. God has a hold of you and you try to run away, he won't let you go. He won't let you go. You can try, but his grace is so much more. Can I have those that are going to pray with us this morning too come up forward? If you're in need of prayer this morning, maybe you just need somebody to walk through this with you. Jesus had people walk with him, 3 disciples, his inner circle. They all walked up that mountain together. It was a climb. I don't know what you need prayer for. I don't know what point specifically spoke to you, but I want to encourage you. If God spoke to you and you want someone to pray and believe with you, that's what we're here for. If you need a healing, if you need just hope restored, whatever you need, we're here to believe with you. We're here to believe that God's will, it will be done. We can ask anything in his name and according to his will, and it shall be done. We can knock on the door and the door will be open. We can seek and it will be given. So I want to encourage you, if everybody can go ahead and stand right now at this moment and keep the attitude of worship. If you want to receive prayer, I want to invite those that want to receive prayer to come forward. And as they come forward, we can go ahead and go into worship. I don't know. I know sometimes when I hear a message too, at least when I experience a message, sometimes I hear one voice, and one voice that keeps me afraid and keeps me stuck where I'm at. And I know that's not your guys' heart, but I want to make you aware. You know God's voice. It says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. But the enemy, he ain't going to let you experience God's will that easy. He's going to be telling you, oh, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. He'll tell you all these lies, and that's who he is. That's his character. He's the father of all lies. He's going to accuse you day and night. But that's okay, because Jesus, he's up on the throne. He said, no, that's my son. That's my daughter. They're forgiven, Father. What I did on the cross, it was enough. And so I want to encourage you. Don't listen to that voice of fear. God, he went to hell and wrestled hell for 3 days. And he came out and he wore the victor's crown. He was victorious. Death couldn't hold him down. Death lost its sting. Fear lost its sting. If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to encourage you. Don't let fear cripple you when God's already defeated it. And you can experience his love. And you don't have to experience that fear. You can tell that fear, you know what, God, I'm done with you. I'm done with you leading my life. I'm going to lead the life that God's intended me to lead. I want to know his love. And so I want to encourage you, lastly, if you want prayer for something, I want to encourage you to come forward. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear hold you down. Come forward. Be bold. Amen. Let me pray for you before we close. So God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are so tender. You are so merciful. You are so patient with us. Each of us fall short. Each of us mess up. Each of us say the wrong things at times. And each of us try to follow our wills over yours and try to tell you that our will's better. And you're still patient with us. And you correct us, but you lovingly help us walk us through it. God, would you help us to walk through what life we're walking through? Whatever you want us to deal with, God, would you help us to walk through that? As we walk through it, God, I pray that we would be transformed after seeing your glory, after seeing your love. And God, let it alter the rest of our lives, God. That everything that we go through, that we would be reminded that the suffering is not forever. And it won't compare to the glory that you're going to reveal to us. God, we love you. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.